Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love, and it's my great pleasure today to be speaking with the journalist, broadcaster, and author, Hazel Courtney. Hazel, thank you for being with us today.
Not at all. How's California today?
Oh, it's, California is, I don't know, I'd have to check with Don there at the studio. I'm in Montana, actually.
Oh, okay.
This is quite amazing how I can be in Montana, patched into the studio in California, speaking with you over Skype in London. Huh. And this is morning here, 7:30 in California, 8:30 in Montana, and it's 3:30 in the afternoon there in England.
Well, this is very international then.
Very international, and of course, this is airing for tonight's show, 5 o'clock California time. And if we would have done the show at that time, it would have been about 3:30 in the morning for you there in London or in England.
Okay. All right. Well, at least we can. Let's hope we can get a few facts over before I go to bed then.
Yeah. So it is really amazing, and matter of fact, your book, Countdown to Coherence, and this is, I've been reading it this last week, and a spiritual journey toward a scientific theory of everything, and I've got to tell you, it's one of the most profound books I have read on the spiritual science, you might say.
Well, thank you.
I'm really quite thrilled with it, and I'd love to go into this for listeners, specifically the understanding to begin with on the concept of coherence. I've given a little bit of an overview, and with the introduction on the Cosmic Love webpage, people that are coming to the show from the webpage, and of course, some people are listening to this show in the future because it's archived, so they're listening to the archives. So the time-space relativity that's all coming together with the show is quite amazing.
It is. But I'd love first, Christopher, if you don't mind, just to sort of set the scene as to how I came to be doing this.
That's what I'd love to hear.
All right. Well, what happened to me was back in 1998, I was a journalist with the Sunday Times newspaper here in London, and I was an alternative health weekly columnist, and on April the 8th, 1998, I was going about my normal life, being a mother, being a wife, running a home, doing my job. It was just before Easter of 1998, and I walked into Harrods, which is a very famous store here in London, and as I went into the turnstile in the bread hall, it stuck fast, and in those few seconds, I couldn't go forward, couldn't go back. And it was as if this enormous volcanic eruption of energy went off inside my body, and I had electrical tremors shooting through my body, down my arms, and I thought huge pains in my chest and head. And I obviously, within about 4 seconds, I could hear a voice shouting in my head that I knew, absolutely knew, had not come from me, Hazel. So obviously, I presume that I'd had some kind of major heart attack. And they managed to get me to my doctor within about 15 minutes. And as they put me on the floor and put heart monitors on my chest, my doctor, he was taking my blood pressure. And while he was doing all this, obviously, I thought I had minutes to live. And so I was giving him farewell messages to my husband, to my daughter and family. And then the most incredible thing happened in that as he was playing my heart rate down the phone to the cardiologist, I realized that I could feel what the doctor was thinking, and I could feel and hear what the cardiologist was saying in my head. And so when I told my doctor this, he was like really shocked, and as was I, because I had no idea what was going on, except in that moment I knew that there was nothing wrong with my heart, and in fact it was perfect. And so after Brian had done all his tests, he said, "Well, Hazel, I don't know what's going on, but you better go home and have a cup of tea," which in England is kind of our answer to absolutely everything. And when I got home, you know, considering the shock, huge shock I'd just gone through, my eyes were a different color. I looked a lot younger. And all kinds of amazing phenomena started to happen to and around me. I developed a huge fever, alternating with feeling like I was freezing cold. I had become intensely psychic. I realized that I could feel what people were thinking in my head. I had this incredible energy inside me and all around me, and I was pulsing it out through my eyes. And I realized that I kind of knew what people were thinking before they said anything. But anyway, by the Easter Friday, Good Friday, I kept saying to people, look into my eyes and you'll know who I am. But in those, at that time, I didn't know who the ultimate I was or is, but of course now I do. And I started to lose a lot of weight because it's as if I wasn't being allowed to eat any physical food. I'd started levitating. It was just an amazing, incredible experience. There was this amazing storm going on. And in the end, a medical doctor who was a friend came to live with us on the Easter Saturday, and he stayed with us for about 3 days. And on the Easter Saturday, with him present with me in my bedroom, I moved from this world to another world because I just couldn't take the shock of what was happening to me anymore. And I was kind of, my consciousness was on the ceiling of our bedroom looking down at this like movie below me. And it took me a few seconds to realize that what was below me was actually me. Anyway, the story unfolded from there, and it was a huge story. I was also being affected by and affecting electronic equipment. I started seeing people as beings of energy. Ash was appearing in the rooms where I went. I mean, it just went on for months. But in the end, once it had grounded itself out, I decided as a journalist to try and find rational explanations as to how or why those events happened to me. And I've been on this like 12-year journey, and I've written 3 books about this whole scenario. And I eventually found out I'd gone through what's known as a spiritual emergency, which is when a spiritual awakening becomes a physical crisis, which obviously mine did. And I believe at that moment in Harrods that my Kundalini energy blew, and therefore I had instant access to all information. And I have to tell you, Christopher, it really blows your mind.
Well, but it sounds like it.
It certainly does. But the point is, nobody needs to go through what I went through in order to become more enlightened, more awake. And the reason that this book was called Countdown to Coherence is because I eventually discovered from a wonderful guy, Professor Frederick Travis, at the Center for Consciousness and Cognition in Iowa, that brain coherence is the demonstrated scientific basis for what most of us would call true enlightenment. And basically that means, the word coherence means everything coming together as one. And when you have a person who has a totally coherent functioning brain, basically the left side of the brain, the right side of the brain, and the whole brain is functioning in a synchronized fashion. So therefore, you and your mother, father, God become as one, because there's no longer any difference between you in your physical body and the underlying field of intelligence, which is now inside you and outside you. And we are all capable of waking up amazing potential capabilities once we know how.
Wow. Well, it sounds like that was a real catharsis as a model of what we all go through when we're in the process of awakening.
It certainly was. But I think I also had what's known as a spiritual walk-in, because if you have a spontaneous Kundalini awakening, your energy field can blow wide open. And at that point, a deceased soul or spirit, whatever you want to call it, can then enter into your energy field. So like there were two of us in here. And so I also...
Was that like a spirit guide?
Kind of, but it was somebody very famous who had died, and I'd been getting messages from this particular person through friends who were mediums for months and months and months and months before I had my experience. And when my friends told me who wanted to work with me from the spirit world, I just ignored it totally. And it was really funny because in the January, before I had the experience in the April, I went to visit an enlightened woman called Mother Mira, who she gives darshan, you know, the pulsing of the energy through the eyes. It's like a spiritual blessing. I went to see her in Germany, and the people who were there said, you know, Hazel, when you go before Mother and she pulses the divine energy into your eyes, you really should concentrate on what you really, really want in your life. So when I knelt before Mother, I asked for a big acceleration in my spiritual growth, never dreaming that 3 months later that this would happen to me. So I would say to your listeners, you know, be really careful what you wish for, because it might come to you, but not in the way that you expect.
Yeah, it sounds like that was getting what you asked for in spades.
And then some.
And then some. Yeah, well, you had quite a run since that's happened. You mentioned that you've written three metaphysical books. One was Divine Intervention. The other was The Evidence for the Sixth Sense. And the third one you're referring to is Countdown to Coherence.
Yep.
And so you've kind of... From what I understand in Countdown to Coherence, you've gone across the full spectrum of many of what, mentioning many of the most enlightened, might call them luminaries of the metaphysical movement around the world today, and the way you reference them and weave the tapestry of this understanding of conscious evolution and the dynamics that are going on in the collective consciousness right now. To me, it was like a thriller.
Well, you're so sweet, but I think that I'm very keen to share with your listeners some of what I learned. Because, for instance, at the beginning of this particular book, Countdown, I went to see Bill Tiller, who's, to my mind, one of the most enlightened material physicists alive today. He's based in Phoenix, in Arizona. And Bill has spent 50 years, most of it at Stanford, studying consciousness and matter. And I actually got on a plane because I never did science at school, so I found this subject quite hard to get to grips with. But when I saw Bill, I said to him, Bill, what is God to you? And he said, in the beginning, everything was totally coherent, which is what God is. And he represented this as being like a little dot. And he said, in physics, we term this in phase. And he believes that, and his working current theory is that as this pure coherence, in order to grow in knowledge and to be able to experience every level of consciousness, every level of being, it started to decohere. And Bill told me that societies would have been first formed at the level of mind, non-physical societies at the level of mind that would have been highly coherent. And he said they would have been societies like Mu. And as this decohering continued, other societies at the level of the emotion domain would have formed. And he said he thinks they would have been societies like Lemuria, but he feels that they were still non-physical. And then this decohering would have continued until a society such as Atlantis would have been formed. And then these really coherent beings could have literally intended, because our thoughts do create, energy becomes matter. And so such a society would have literally intended to more fully explore itself. They could have intended this world into being in the moment of, they could have actually created what we call the Big Bang. And for anyone out there who thinks, wow, this woman's completely off the wall, they might like to consider that, say, theoretical physicist Michio Kaku, who is based in New York and he heads up the wonderful program called The Universe. I hope you're watching it in the States. He said that in the beginning, at the moment of the Big Bang, all energy that's ever was or is going to be was released in that moment. But in that moment, our universe, you could have held it, Christopher, if you'd have been there, in the palm of your hand, because in the very beginning, this universe was less than the size of a human atom, and you could fit a million atoms behind one hair on your head. And so when you consider that we are all from one source, and in that moment of the Big Bang, that's when our space-time was birthed, and we obviously came along far, far, far later down the line. But the point is, not only do we all come from one source, but everything that ever was or will be is already here. And when I said to Bill, I said, okay, well, this decohering's gone on and on and on over eons of what we call time. And I said, well, where's it heading now? And he said, well, I believe that consciousness has reached a point of minimal coherence. And when you look around you, Christopher, and see what's going on around the world, I can't help thinking that this guy is correct.
Yeah.
And I said, well, where are we going now? And he said, well, actually, I believe that consciousness is about to turn. And he said, I believe that we're actually headed home. And I said, you mean back to coherence? And he said, absolutely. We are returning from whence we came. And, of course, that gave me the title for this book.
Well, this concept of coherence is something that I've recently was introduced to through the Heart Math Institute. And I know you referenced that. The Hard Math Institute in your book. And my understanding of that through the Hard Math Institute in your book is that the most powerful energy center of the body is in the heart. And that
it's the most powerful electromagnetic emitter in the body, let's put it that way. But
when the heart is in coherence, and some experts on this subject actually lectured out here, Dan Winter, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's really got into the science, the mathematics, the physics of heart coherence, and how when it's in perfect coherence, it's a golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm itself, and with biofeedback, they can actually monitor the heart rhythm, and when it is in that rhythm of coherence with biofeedback, which entrains the brain with that same heart coherence to really balance, you know, the hemispheric balancing, the forebrain, rear brain, upper brain, lower brain, left brain, right brain, with this coherent field, which is like a holographic field, which when it is in coherence, again, all time and space is relative, and you have those gifts of the Holy Spirit, psychic gifts, and this is where the phenomena of there is of telepathy and all kinds of amazing, you know, happens, and that this can be, with the biofeedback, you can actually tune in very quickly through a meditative process with the biofeedback, with the principle of that once you become conscious of that which is unconscious, you not only will to control, you can't resist conscious self-control. And that self-mastery process with the biofeedback, HeartMath has shown it be an amazing tool that's used actually in corporate America. There's quite a few the corporations that are using these tools with their executives and people that are, you know, in very highly responsible positions, because heart coherence really has an amazing transformative effect, not just on the health, as you mentioned, the health of the whole body, but relationships and the whole process of in corporations with team building and coherence, you might say, in business and, of course, personal relationships in general. And so I noted how there was so many highlights in your book referencing these keynotes to coherence, these processes and different processes of coherence and different meditative disciplines and different ways of coming at the same enlightenment process. I was just amazed. To me, it was like a full spectrum of the white light.
Wow, that you've certainly given me plenty of food for thought there. But I think it's really important for people to realize, yes, you can buy a small device for your computer where you attach a small monitor to your finger, and you can actually show how your thoughts can change the way your heart beats. And you can see that you can affect your physical reality through your thoughts. And in fact, the HeartMath Institute have shown that when advanced meditators entrain their hearts and minds, they could simultaneously influence their DNA, which was in a petri dish several feet away from them. I mean, Bill Tiller has shown over and over again, and his science has been verified, that our thoughts create our reality. And he's done this. He's actually discovered another level of being. He said to me that there are two very distinct levels of reality. The first is what we call the world around us. It's this dense, what he calls the electric atom molecule physical world. But most crucially, he's found that there is a second, normally invisible to us level, which Bill calls the magnetic information wave level. Most of us would know this as the etheric level, which is outside of our space-time, but we can couple with it and we can influence consciousness, and you can bring the unmanifest into the manifest. So when you are working with people like the HeartMath, or when you're chanting, or when you're meditating, what you are doing is you are coupling with this other level of reality, which is like an information channel. Which Bill has helped explain telepathy. He's helped explain how distant prayer works. And he's explained to me, anyway, how sustained, focused intentions create your reality. And when people meditate and they tune into the space between their thoughts and they create what's known as a sacred space, a conditioned space, then you are linking to this ultimate mind, this ultimate consciousness that we exist inside of. And so the more you can do this, the more you can anchor this consciousness, this incredible mind, into yourself. And that's what growing in coherence means. And as you do this, an area in the center of your brain, which is known as the thalamus, it's associated with sight, touch, smell, hearing, and so on. The more you can meditate and chant or work with this heart math machine or whatever, then you start to ramp up the area known as the thalamus. And at that moment in Harrods, when my kundalini blew, it's like I'd hit the jackpot, Christopher, you know, because I could see more, I could hear more, I could smell more. So, you know, it's like we're all conscious in the sense that we're awake, we're going to work, we're going about our lives. But my God, I felt really awake for the first time, certainly in this lifetime. And so people need to understand that the more they wake up their thalamus, and in a safe and slow and controlled fashion, then their intuition will become far more sharpened. They could start to hear other frequencies of existence, which are everywhere. We are just existing on one frequency. There are myriad frequencies out there. We are transformers and receivers of information.
And the DNA is also a transceiver of information. Yeah.
Well, actually, I think that whenever, I don't know when I ever will get around to doing it, but when I ever get around to doing another book, I'm actually going to start looking very heavily into DNA. Because to my mind, that we need to start waking up what the scientists are calling junk DNA. But I also want to make it very clear that there's lots of kids out there who are smoking cannabis, who are taking crack, who are doing heroin and all these kind of things. And they are having spontaneous Kundalini awakenings. And if this happens in an immature consciousness, you become pretty psychotic and you end up harming yourself or others. And mental homes and psychiatric institutions around the world are full of people who have had, they've had major spiritual breakthroughs and they just don't know what the hell's going on. And so yeah. I've spent the last 12 years speaking to people like Professor Stanislav Grof, who obviously is the world expert in spiritual breakthroughs. I went to the University of Arizona and spoke to Professor Gary Schwartz on how consciousness survives physical death. And Gary explained to me that, you know, we and our whole universe is nothing more than organized energy, and that our mind and intention form patterns which form matter. And this is so important for people to get, because so many people out there, as you know, Christopher, they think that only what they can see with their physical eyes and only what they can hear with their ears is real. I mean, people need to really understand that. Let's pretend that our universe, which is, let's say, 10 million light years across, I'm afraid I'm not sure of the absolute figure, but say if, with your physical eyes, how much of that 10 million light years do you think we could see? We can only see about an inch of it. And yeah. So there are so many realities going on all around us, but we're just not aware of them. And we're also not aware that by waking up this area that are called the thalamus in the mind, that you become, as you become more coherent, you can start creating with the power of your mind.
In other words, as I understand it, the spiritual path is the pure intention that focuses attention for evolutionary ascension, in terms of as you become more conscious of how you are conscious. It's like a psyche feedback, just like biofeedback, where you become not only the will to control, but you can't resist self-control or self-mastery in that evolutionary, conscious evolutionary ascent process. And this process of tuning in, whether it's through meditation, visualization, invocation, or, you know, disciplines like with heart math, the tools, processes, it's this becoming, that pure intention to become more aware of the processes of consciousness itself is what then self-corrects. It's like I remember the book Psycho-Cybernetics. It's like the cybernetic self-correcting processes, which is really the self-governing, self-learning, self-healing process, which the body will heal itself, as you know, working with holistic health as you have. If you just provide the body what it needs to do so, and I think that stepping down of the energy from the spiritual to the higher mental to the, and emotional to the physical, which you reference as cosmogenesis from ancient Mu to, you know, Lemuria to Atlantis, that the whole history of conscious evolution really is a stepping down from the higher etheric and into the, you know, mental, emotional, physical, which is what we're each doing individually when we become coherent.
Yeah, but I think you're absolutely right in what you're saying. But Fred Travis also explained to me that when you have moments of pure brain coherence, meaning that your whole brain is working in a synchronized fashion. Wow, I don't know if you can hear this. Thunder and lightning just started here. Wow, okay. But he said that when you have those moments of total brain coherence, this pure perfection automatically is communicated to every cell in your body, which in that moment will also become coherent. So brain coherence is also the demonstrable reason why you have moments, it's one of the reasons why you have moments of spontaneous healing, because we're perfectly capable of healing ourselves if we give the body the right tools for the job. But in that moment of brain coherence, all karma from all lifetimes is wiped clean. This is like I had the chance to press a reset button, and for some people the reset lasts a lifetime, and for others it doesn't. But in other words, now I know it's possible and I've experienced it for myself. I would say to everyone, you know, the more you can be kind to other people and to love yourself too, and the more you can place your ego into service for the whole rather than thinking like, what's in it for me? You know, motives are very important, I think, on this journey. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with earning money along the way, because like we've got to pay our bills, we have to buy food, we have to look after ourselves, because we're divine beings having a physical experience. But once your brain becomes more coherent, once the underlying field of intelligence couples with you more and more and more and more, everything starts to open up for you, as you said earlier, and therefore you're going to be in the right place at the right time. Things that you need to complete your journey will automatically be brought to you. And I'm not saying here that people should just sit in a room and say, oh, okay, I want to win the lottery, and can all this money just fall on my head? The trouble is, this is a two-way street here. So you have to be willing to do your part, and the non-physical realms will and can help you. But if you're coming to this for the right reasons.
In other words, the motive as pure intention, and that comes back to, well, you call it brain coherence, but it's always connected. Heart coherence there's a resonant, of course, correspondence between the two. And what you're saying is that, as I understand it, is that that coherence on a cellular level, through our DNA and through the entire body, there's like a network there that is not only behind spontaneous remissions with disease, but also the enlightenment process in general with full spectrum conscience.
Wow. Okay. Well, the way Tiller explained to me, he said, obviously emotions are centered in, a lot of emotion is centered in the heart. You know, when you really love someone, you feel it in your heart. When you're looking at your firstborn child or any child, you should be feeling love in your heart. And so emotions produce something called deltrons, which are things, very, very, very tiny things. But deltrons act like the toner in a photocopying machine. And so the more emotion you can put into what you want and to where you're going, the more deltrons you produce. And these act, as I say, like a toner in a photocopier. And this helps imprint the non-physical into the physical. So yes, I think the heart and the mind, when they work as one, then miracles can and do happen.
So your experience with all this must have just be an ongoing transformative process. I mean, I can imagine, and I really actually identify with the thrill of this process of becoming more aware of how it's all connected and where it's going. And I'd really like to hear your feelings on this, what some people refer to as the ascension process.
Okay, well, one or two scientists have said to me, when I ask about ascension, they call it New Age bullshit.
Yeah.
But to my mind, I think a lot of people, well, the word ascension, like coherence, can have many different meanings to many different people. So
right.
When I was at the height of my experience, I actually began to physically disappear. So
really?
When I have actually watched enlightened masters disappear, like they've almost pixelated in front of my eyes. So they've become like, they looked first of all like a being of light, like a hologram, and then I could no longer see them with my physical eyes. Now, just because I couldn't see them, it doesn't mean to say that they weren't there. So
right.
There were many moments when I just wanted to merge and become one with the light. I called it the light, the all that is, pure coherence. And in those moments, I started to go very pale and almost not be here anymore. And so I believe that if you become purely coherent and you're able to maintain this coherence, then I think the great masters of time that say exist in the Himalayas, they can appear in a physical world if they wish to, or they can disappear from this world if they wish to. So I think ascension is your consciousness moving and operating on another level of reality, which, by the way, is as real to the people existing in it as this one is to us. So there has been, I think, an awful lot of misinformation on the word ascension. But again, you know, I'm just telling people what I have discovered. Everyone has to find their own truth. So I think also the word ascension also means this transformative process of realizing who you are. So you're ascending to operating on a different frequency of consciousness. So, you know, it can be many, many, many things.
So just the process of conscious evolution is, in a sense, the evolutionary ascent of consciousness. And I would qualify that on the path of true coherence.
Well, I think, yes, you're right. But, you know, attaining pure coherence, it's like you're sitting on a pinhead on the top of Mount Everest. And, you know, it's maintaining that coherence that's really not very easy. And so I can now quite understand why truly enlightened men and women, yes, they come into this physical world and they come and they heal people and they teach us and they so on. But they also spend a lot of time fasting or on their own or in meditation. You know, they keep their energy fields very, very, very pure. But and we're all headed that way, but this is a process and it's going to take time. So these days, I used to grieve terribly to, you know, to return to that heightened state of being. But now I accept that we are on a process and some people are going to make it and others might not. And people shouldn't be jealous of people who become enlightened. And, of course, there are many levels of enlightenment. There are many people claiming to be fully enlightened when they are sure not. And so it's really important to not be envious of these truly enlightened people, nor to worship them, because they are showing you who you really are. I mean, Jesus said years ago, well, I believe Jesus said, "Know ye not that ye are gods? We are all part of God, and all parts make the whole." So when he said, "I am my mother, father, God," became as one, I really now understand that, because there is no longer any separation between me, little me, Hazel, and big me, and we are all part of big me, but most of us just don't know it.
So I really, I have this sense that it's an ongoing process, and I really believe that and this is not the best expression, but sometimes I get into the mode of, you know, I'm maybe not there, but I'm in process, and I use the expression fake it till I make it. In other words, mirror and modeling those who have gone before, who really have a grasp on it. And for me, it's more like connecting the dots and getting the picture of, and this is why I've been doing this show, Cosmic Love, for 4 years, because it's been a great joy interviewing people more intelligent than myself on the subject. And it's, I see this is what you've been doing with your book, going around the world and interviewing people that are really on the cutting edge of consciousness research. And to me, reading your book has been like a condensed course on this path of learning from those who have gone before in these realms that quantum physics and modern science is just now showing that what the spiritual masters, what we hear about these spiritual masters in the Far East and the different saints who would dematerialize, or like Padre Pio, you know, would be seen in multiple places at one time, and these different stories that we're realizing that there really is a science to all this. It's not just hocus pocus or mythology. That there's and so for me, this has been an affirmation.
It's very kind of you, but I think it's really important also for people to not get bogged down in the small stuff. And yeah. A lot of people think, oh, my God, you know, how can I learn all this stuff? And as I say, I never did science at school. And so when I transformed Bill's technical science, I transformed it in a way that I thought, if I can understand this, anyone can understand it. And the same with Gary Schwartz, who's shown that consciousness survives physical death. I interviewed Klaus Heinemann, an ex-NASA physicist, about the science of orbs, which is what I believe we become when we die. I've interviewed people who explain that once you do die and you're existing as a being of unique consciousness outside of our physical space-time, you can then reincarnate into any period in time. That really blew me away. I've interviewed people in Italy who time travel. I've interviewed shaman scientist Professor Alberto Velodo, who explained about various chakras and about how we create our own reality. I mean, I've met some unbelievable people on this journey, but the man who really brought it all together was a wonderful theologian who's based in Seattle in Washington State. His name is Dr. Michal Ledwith. And Michal really taught me. He said, you know, I was really getting bogged down in the details. And he said, Hazel, 40,000 children die every day of hunger. There are currently 20,000 religions on this planet. And at any one time, there are 20 major, war zones going on. And he said, do you know, when we've sorted all of those problems out, he said, then let's start worrying about, you know, the eighth chakra or becoming enlightened. Because he said, by helping your fellow man, that is helping you on your journey. And he's true, because I went to India to interview Sai Baba a few years ago. I mean, he passed away a couple of months ago. And Sai Baba said, nobody needs to come here to see me. He said they could go home and help others, you know, he said, because that's what we all need to do. So I think anyone out there who thinks this is all too technical, you know, I can't get on this path, just know that you are a very special being. You emanate from one source, and eventually you will return to that source. And we are recycled energy and information. You, your physical body, obviously, when you die, it's just disseminated and the atoms in it go to become a blade of grass or water or whatever. But your consciousness goes on eternally. You are recycled energy and information. And once people start to realize the enormity of who they and we all are and what we're part of, then they start to see this world from a different perspective. And that's what we need to do. We need to, in other words, some people say, oh, well, if only I had lots of money, if only I had a better job, if only I had this or that or the other. And they're very angry. But once you change your attitude to what your problem is, then you see things in a different light. And this can be so helpful to people.
And I'm really inspired with this message of the and the concept of yes, the true test of spirituality is practicality and greater service to others, and the process of becoming more conscious of how we're conscious. And your book, Countdown to Coherence, I guess the reason I enjoyed it the most was that I could pick it up just about at any point and read for a while. And I love doing that, you know, the synchronicity of just the moment and any one part being like a part of the whole that reflects the whole. And your book is very much like that. And I loved jumping to the very last chapter. And the three chapters before it, I thought, were like a summation of the foundations of concepts that you laid throughout the first part of the book. But
Christopher, just before I go, I think I'd love to just tell people, I've just put onto my website a one-hour lecture that I did recently at St. James's Church in London, which is a huge alternative center. And an awful lot of the concepts in the book are explained in that lecture, which people can watch for free on the website if they'd like to.
Oh, that'd be great. And that's at hazelcourtney.com, your website. And there's a lot other video clips. The lecture is there. A lot of information that is really gives the depth and breadth of this subject. So, Hazel, I know you're on your way to Tel Aviv. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I'm really grateful for your presence and Godspeed in your work. I think it's extraordinary, and I highly encourage those that want to get more information on this, get the book, check out the website, the videos, and thank you so much, Hazel.
And thank you so much. Thank you. God bless and be safe.
We'll see you on those cosmic highways.
All right, God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks.
Goodbye. Well, that's a wrap for the show. We'll look forward to being back here in another couple of weeks. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There is a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with Cosmic Love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how Cosmic Love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make Cosmic Love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of Cosmic Love. The family of man in our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of Cosmic Love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of Cosmic Love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of Cosmic Love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of Cosmic Love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that Cosmic Love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.